Welcome to Voter Talk Election 2020. I'm Simon Ewing-Jarvie.
And I'm Heather Roy.
So, the Opportunities Party, Heather, tell us a bit about this.
Well, the Opportunities Party is more commonly known as TOP, and actually did quite well at the last election. It was founded in 2016 by Gareth Morgan, who's sort of an economist and a philanthropist, well known in New Zealand, sometimes for his economic commentaries, and sometimes for his quite out there environmental policies, like getting rid of domestic cats, for example. But he certainly had profile. And after the 2017 election, the party had 2.4% of the vote.
That's not bad for a first round. Where's their website?
Their website is www.top.org.nz.
What slogan are they running with for this election?
This year, you can see on their billboards and on their website, their slogan is Vote Different.
You said it was founded by Gareth Morgan. He's no longer with the party. Who are the key characters now?
So there's one person who was his deputy last time round, a fellow called Jeff Simmons. Jeff is an economist and a small business person himself, and he's standing in the Rongotai electorate this election. He took over from Gareth Morgan in late 2018 after Gareth departed the party.
Anyone else interesting in that list? I think there's about 21 candidates all up so far, haven't
they? They do have one higher profile candidate this election in their lineup, and that is Tuariki Delamere.
He was an immigration minister back a few parliaments ago, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he's an immigration consultant now. I think he's often in the news for high-profile cases.
What can you tell us about the policy that they're running with for this election?
Well, they really are an economically liberal and environmental policy. So it's a bit hard to place them on the political spectrum because the environmental component is a really big part of their policy development. Where would you put them?
They are described by some as centrist, and I think that's not far from correct. They're definitely on the liberal scale rather than the conservative scale, but on the economy side of things, they have got a foot in each camp. So they're quite liberal in some of their aspects in terms of free market stuff for small businesses. But then they also, one of their central planks is a universal basic income, which is completely
right.
At the other end of the economic scale.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think that centre, but up towards the liberal end, is probably about right.
Yeah. That's
so
right.
They seem to have five policy areas this election. If you look at their website, they whittle them down to that. So firstly, the environment, it's front and centre. The second thing for them is the cost of housing must come down. So they're looking at housing and rentals, bringing those costs down, and that does move them more over to the state run end of the spectrum, I think. You've already talked about the universal basic income, which is a very strong policy drive from them. The opportunity to thrive, so there's all sorts of social policy area initiatives there. And this election, they've got a new area which they've called smart small businesses. So it's about supporting small businesses post-COVID, really, or in the midst of the COVID thing. So they look a wee bit like ACT in this regard. They talk about getting rid of red tape, helping small businesses prosper in any way that they can.
This is the sort of party that would play quite a useful role in Parliament, but is hamstrung by the 5% threshold and the lack of a electorate seat.
It is. I was impressed with their 2.4% last election, and had they had the benefit of having won an electorate seat, they would have had three or four MPs in Parliament, which, you know, is reasonable for a little party. I think it's one of the foibles of MMP, as I've already talked about, that if a party can get that many votes, they actually deserve, I think, to have representation in Parliament.
Mm, I agree. They're going to be another victim of COVID, aren't they? That there's so much noise on the political landscape that they're going to find it very difficult to get the cut through that they're looking for.
I think that's right. And last election too, they attracted a lot of support from young voters, particularly in that 18 to 21 and even 21 to 24 slot. They certainly had policies that seemed to appeal to them. They had a lot of supporters who went out campaigning with them. And if you look at their lineup, it is largely young people, not exclusively, but there are a lot of young people there. This election, it's really hard to say what might happen to those young voters. Will they vote? Will they throw their hands up in horror and think it's all about COVID and not vote at all? Or will they actually go on election day and cast their vote? Hard to say at this point.
Yeah. Let's move on to the New Conservative Party. They're at newconservative.org.nz. They have been around since about 2011 when Auckland businessman Colin Craig founded the party. He resigned in 2015. But in 2017, the party changed its name to the New Conservative Party. Heather, can you enlighten me on what their campaign slogan is for this year?
I can, but I had to look it up. Their slogan is Your Nation, Your Voice, and you can see more about them on their website, which is www.newconservative.org.nz.
Then I found their values stand for what you believe in, not what you will tolerate. And then I found another bit, which was stand with us for the 2020 election. And then I found hashtag let's fix this, which is fire for social media. So there's a lot of taglines there.
That's right. They're covering their bases, aren't they?
So, yeah, so on the political spectrum, where would we put these?
Oh, they promote themselves as conservative. In fact, it's a very useful name because it tells you exactly what the party stands for. It's conservative policies. So they're down on our political spectrum, down in the bottom part of the graph. When you look at their economic policies, they veer towards the free market. So I think they're over on the right-hand side of the centre line, but not too far over. So bottom right, but closer to the centre line, probably. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, political. I was thinking politically, the offset to ACT. So they're conservative, we're ACT as liberal, but I think both parties sort of sit over in the free market end with an element of common sense wrapped around that.
Yes. If you look at their policies, they believe in school choice, they believe in people doing well, but not having a lot of red tape, being able to get on and just run businesses themselves without a lot of government interference. So yeah, I think that's probably right.
So who are the key people?
Well, Colin Craig was very much dominant in the party for that, from when they were founded through to when he sort of disgracefully left the party, if you like. In 2017, they changed their name from Conservative Party to New Conservative Party, and I think that was really meant to breathe some new life into them. And the new leader at that, who took over at that time, is a fellow called Leighton Baker. Other people in their lineup aren't particularly familiar to me, so I don't think there's any high profile presence there.
No, the deputy leader is Elliot Ikelay. Never heard of him. I did watch Leighton Baker's little video. It says he's been a farmer and now a builder. And lived around the country. So in terms of policies, what are they bringing to the election 2020?
Well, everything conservative, really. They've got a real family focus. For example, they strongly believe in marriage. They believe in children having that solid, what they consider solid base to grow up in. So there's a lot of family type policies. They've got a marriage policy. They've got a prostitution policy. For a small party, whether you like their philosophy or not, I felt looking through their website that they do quite a good job of selling themselves. So you wouldn't go away from that website not realising that they're very conservative in nature and that's what they want to get across. So I think they've focused on the things that are really important for them there. They, as I said before, they believe in school choice. They're not opposed to, or they support charter schools. They oppose race-based policies, including the Maori seats. They're the only party who actually explicitly states that on their website, I think, certainly from what I've looked. They believe in income splitting. So that's a policy that Peter Dunn, when he was in Parliament, had a real focus on. But this only, and this is where their conservatism comes in, but only for couples in legally recognised relationships, such as marriage, they say on the website.
I see they're talking about repealing all the firearms legislation that's gone through recently in the same way that ACT is, but claiming that they've been working with the firearms community for some time over this prior to the March 15 events of last year. So it's interesting that there's actually two parties, both saying similar things in regard to that.
That's right. They take a pretty hard line on crime, law and order, but they do believe in rehabilitation and prisoners and having prisoners working.
Yeah, I see. You're either going to be male or female, but there's not going to be any other genders available for anyone in schools or anywhere else.
I missed that on the website. I didn't know that. But that, again, speaks to their conservatism. That's not altogether surprising. Yeah.
And look, if all the Conservatives, whether they were Christian Conservatives or not, got together, there would be quite a gathering, and enough to get into Parliament, but they never quite seemed to get there. I think the Christian Coalition got close as anyone.
That's right. I think they got 4.7% of the vote at their best election. But that's right. It seems that all of these parties aren't able to collaborate effectively. They seem to not be able to let go of their own policies in order to get that overall gain.
Right. Well, that's probably about enough from us today. If you'd like to send in some questions, you can go to the contacts page on our website, talkpoint.co.nz, that's T-O-R-Q-U-E. We're also on social media like YouTube, Facebook, Twitter and LinkedIn. I'm Simon Ewing-Jarvie.
And I'm Heather Roy. We'll talk to you soon.